All right, I want to begin a series tonight that God laid on my heart back at the beginning of the year. And I know that He laid the series on my heart, but He hasn't laid all the messages on my heart. So I have tonight's message. Don't ask me about next Wednesday's night. I'm not sure yet. But I want to start a series that I hope is going to be interesting, fun, edifying, teachable, encouraging, securing, and all those things. And I want to begin a series tonight entitled, What Does the Bible Say About That? What does the Bible say about that? About what, Pastor? Well, about all kinds of things. And so I thought I would present this to you tonight. And maybe you have a topic that you've always wondered, what does the Bible say about that? And I don't look at you as the Holy Spirit, but if you wanted to send me an email and say, Pastor, during the course of your series on what does the Bible say about that, I sure would like to know what the Bible says about this. Are you confused or are you with me? You understand that? All right, so don't ask me where Cain got his wife or something like that. I don't want to do that. It's got to be able to find it here in the Word of God. But I thought I would throw that out to you and just see. I've done this one time years ago. I did something similar to this. And I was kind of surprised about the response that people wanted to know, what does the Bible say about this or that? And so I'm going to do that series. Now, I don't know how many weeks it'll take us, if it'll take us through the summertime or whatever. But when you come, hopefully it will be an encouragement. And so I've been wanting to preach this message to you that I'm preaching tonight for some time. And the Lord did not allow it, and He has finally allowed it in His timing. And I think it's a good one to start our series tonight. And so I want to preach tonight on what does the Bible say about friendship. Friendship. Friendship is a word that I think is vastly misunderstood. I think that friendship is something that is vastly needed in our lives. I would begin my message tonight by asking you, do you have a best friend? And Jesus is not the answer. Do you have a best friend? How many can honestly say, I have a best friend? I want to clarify what best friend means. It means that you've actually talked to them within the last 5 years. It means that you've had some kind of communication outside of Facebook. It means that you actually know something about them. They know something about you. You would say that you have a best friend. Okay. All right. How many have more than one best friend? I'm just seeing. All right. So right now, if I asked you to come to the pulpit and describe for me your best friend. And by the way, they need to have two legs. Only. Okay. Can you describe them? Can you describe them? Second question. Are you a good friend? Jimmy thinks he's a good friend. Are you a good friend? Are you there for people? Pastor, I have a best friend and I could describe them. Have they done more for you than you've done for them? Are you a good friend to people? Are you a friendly person? Well, Pastor, I don't need friends. Liar. Everybody needs friends. Pastor, I don't necessarily think that friendship is important. The Bible does. Pastor, I'm kind of my own person. No, no. Nobody's their own person. What kind of people are you friends with? Would you introduce your friend to your pastor? If you and your friend were going out to go do something, are godly people invited with you to go? No way, Pastor. You are not going with me with my circle of guys or my... You know, believe it or not, friends have great power. Just ask Amnon. Anybody know who Amnon was in the Bible? Anybody? A couple people do. Who was Amnon's dad? David. Who was Amnon's sister? Tamar. Who was Amnon's brother? Absalom. Don't you remember that Amnon had a sexual desire for his sister? And he was twisted inside. He wanted one thing, but he knew it to be wrong. And he wrestled with that desire and he wrestled with that problem. And do you know the tipping point that made that boy rape his sister? The Bible says, and Amnon had a friend. And the friend told him how he could do this. By the way, Absalom stuck a knife into Amnon and killed him. Friends have good power, a lot of power. Who are probably the two greatest friends in the Bible? David and Jonathan. Great friends. Friends that would identify what a true friend is. I have found that people make lifetime decisions based on the counsel of a friend. I have found that people feel good about themselves based on the compliments of a friend. I have found that birds of a feather, that's not in the Bible, kind of that way. Okay. But you and I were created by God, and we were created as sociable people, which means we need friends. I have found that friendship is important inside a church. I think you ought to have some friendships within the church. I've seen where friendships have kept people in a church and lack of friendship have taken people out of a church. Friendships are important. Everybody likes to think that they are a good friend, and everybody likes to think that maybe possibly they don't need people. We don't like to confess that we are needy people. And so sometimes when we don't have friends or we don't make friends, it's everybody else's fault. Well, the Bible will put the fault exactly where it is. The Bible has a lot to say about friendship. And so I want you to come to Proverbs chapter 27, and I want you to see verse number 17. And I want you to see why we need a friend. And why friends are important, and why the right kind of friend is important. And I basically just am starting a series tonight on what does the Bible say about that. And our first subject will be friendship. And God's laid this on my heart a few weeks ago, and I'm excited to preach it to you. Verse number 17 of chapter 27. The Bible says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his what? Of his friend. And so the mindset that says, I don't need any friend or I don't need anyone is a person that is dull. D-U-L-L, dull. Because the Bible says that a friend has a purpose and a responsibility to sharpen the countenance of his friend. And so a true friend will sharpen you in the Lord. A true friend will lift you. And we need that. When we draw into isolation or loneliness, or we don't think that we need anybody, it's just me and the Lord and I'll be okay. No, you need someone to sharpen you. The opposite is true. If you have the wrong kind of friend, they will dull you. Friendships are important. Pastor, I don't do well at making friends. And this is a verse that I think is important too. Go to Proverbs chapter 18, verse number 24. One of the reasons you need a friend, and one of the reasons you should be a good friend, is that we sharpen the countenance of our friends. And in Proverbs chapter 18, we're taught here what it is to have friends. Look at verse number 24. A man or a woman that hath friends, what's the next word? Must show himself to be what? Friendly. There is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So if I'm going to have friends, the Bible says that I must show myself to be friendly. The word friendly there carries with it the idea of kind, sociable, gentle, gracious, tender when it comes to relationships. And so, and this is important because sometimes inside a family or inside even a church, you will find that people carry with it this idea that no one likes me or no one befriends me. And then here's what they'll tell the pastor. And don't tell me that I have to be friendly because I've tried being friendly to them and they haven't been friendly back. That may be true on one or two types of people, but the Bible says if I'm going to have friends, I have to show myself friendly. And the Bible is never wrong. Okay? Pastor, people don't take well to me. They're not the problem. Pastor, I have a hard time making friends. It's a problem. Most of the time, the problem is you're not kind, you're not sociable, you're not gentle, you're not gracious, and you're not tender. Now, everybody in the world, including Tom Hunter, thinks we're perfect. And those people have a problem. But the Bible put friendship, the responsibility not on those people, but the Bible puts friendship on the responsibility of myself. Amen? So the Bible says that if I'm going to have friends, and I need friends, whether I think I do or not, because the value of a friend is the sharpening of my countenance, I'll show you some other things, then I am the one that has the responsibility to show myself friendly. Now, humanly, we can say, but I tried that and it didn't work. I wish that I had one nickel for every time I heard that. I could build all of these buildings and we'd never have to give an offering. So why would this be such a stickler? Because the devil can use friendship or the lack of friendship to hurt people. So let me ask another question. Who in this room has been hurt horribly by a friend? Yeah. You go to the book of Psalms and you read about David writing about how he could handle the betrayal had it come from an enemy, but he was betrayed by a friend. And he said, it stuck deep. So, as the pastor, you're always watching over the congregation of people. And you're kind of watching who's going with who's relating here, who doesn't have anybody, who looks like as an outsider, who thinks they don't need anyone, who has this. And you're always kind of watching about the relationships of God's people. And I want you to understand something. Not only do we need Jesus, but we need each other. We need each other. So I know that there is a mindset and a heart that craves friendship. And eventually, when you can get to the point where you get so hurt that you don't want anybody else to ever hurt you, so you can kind of begin to build your wall. Well, I don't need people. I don't need people. I don't need people. But God loves people. And God's people need to love people. And we need friends. And you need to be a good friend. So I'm asking you, are you a good friend? So who did you show yourself friendly to this week? How do we go about that? So the Bible says, if I'm going to have friends, I'm going to show myself friendly. Well, Pastor, I'm a good friend. I was hoping you would say that. Go to Proverbs 17:17. Here's the major test of this. Verse 17, let's read it together out loud. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And if you have a brother, you would say amen. A friend loveth how? At all times. Now, the greatest friend we have is the Lord Jesus. And this verse to me is the epitome of friendship. A true friend will love you no matter what. Now, God is love, and God loves us. God loved me before I was saved. God loved me after I was saved. No one can ever separate God's child from God's love. So the Lord Jesus is the best friend you could ever know. Now, I know he gets maliciously maligned, and I know he gets abused, and I know people say he's not, but he's the greatest friend we have. But a true friend loves at all times, at all times, which means whenever you relate on a human level, you're going to have problems and you're going to have difficulties. But one of the tests and the marks of true friendship is that there's never anything that will sever that love. Pastor, I used to have a friend, but they're not my friend anymore. Now we're getting less participation. Why aren't they your friend anymore? A lot of reasons. Maybe they did hurt you. Maybe they did something, whatever. However, if they come back and they ask for forgiveness, there should be forgiveness given. Aren't you glad God forgave you? Okay. Oh, Pastor, they just did this and it just got complicated. Your flesh and my flesh is complicated, but there is simplicity in Jesus. Amen? So we sometimes, we make life complicated when life's really not so complicated. I'm just filled with pride and I don't want to humble myself. I have found that when I humble myself, life gets real simple. But when I don't humble myself, life's very complicated. So the Bible says that I need friends because they sharpen me. I'm to be a good friend. I'm to sharpen my friend. If I'm going to have friends, I've got to show myself friendly. That's an action. That's not just sitting back and hoping people like you. That's an aggressive move. And then it says about a true friend that they love at all times, good times or bad times. And so I would tell you and ask you again, are you a good friend? Find, if you would, chapter 27. Look at verse number 6. The Bible says a lot more about friendship. In chapter 27, verse 6, you might know this verse already. Faithful are the, what's that word? Wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are what? Deceitful. So a true friend tells the truth. A true friend is faithful in their wounding. They wound with love. They wound with kindness. They wound with your best intention, as in your goodness is their best intention. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but kisses of an enemy are deceitful. What does that mean? That means if you really and truthfully are a good friend, you will tell the truth to your friend. Pastor, the truth will hurt my friend. Yeah, but the kisses show that there's deceit involved. The Bible says, speak the truth how? In love, and have mercy. And so, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Well, Pastor, I could never tell that to my friend. You're not a good friend. Well, Pastor, I know some things about my friend, and people make fun of them and do this, but I don't ever confront them about it. You're not a good friend. What kind of friend sees a deficiency in another friend, moved even by the Lord, and they don't help their friend? Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Now, be careful about that. Make sure it comes from love and so on and so forth. But I'm amazed at how in relationships we call people our friends and we know there's some things we could help them with or show them with this, but we never open up our mouth. I'm glad Jesus opened up his mouth and told me I was a sinner. Amen? Find, if you would, please. I don't want to take you outside of the book of Proverbs right now, so I'm going to change my mind just a little bit here. Go, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 25, verse number 17. Proverbs 25, verse 17. The Bible says this about friendship. Withdraw thy foot from thy neighbor's house, lest he be weary of thee, and so do what, class? So hate thee. One of the evidences of true friendship is we don't weary our friends. We don't impose on our friends. We don't take advantage of our friends. We don't intrude upon them to the weariness of them. There's a understanding about our relationship there. Look if you would to Proverbs chapter 6. Find, if you would, verse number 1, Proverbs chapter 6, verse number 1. All these things are about friendship here. You know you have some responsibility toward your friend? I don't know if you know this and is in the Bible or not, but let's read them. Verse number 1, my son, if thou be, what's that word, class? Surety for thy friend. If thou hast stricken thy hand with a stranger, thou art snared with the words of thy mouth. Thou art taken with the words of thy mouth. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. We're not to be surety for our friends, which means we're not to place ourselves in the midst of responsibility for our friends. We're not to be the ones that would sign for them or take responsibility in those matters. You have a responsibility to your friend, to be their friend. Be careful about mixing business with your friend. I would dare say, how many friends have been lost over business? Be careful about that. Whenever you do a deal with a friend, be ready to lose. Be willing to lose. Are you one of those friends that makes everybody pay you back the dollar they borrowed? Do you hate paying back a dollar that you borrowed? I don't mind paying it back if I owe it. But, I mean, I used to have this one friend. If I borrowed a quarter from him on Monday, man, on Tuesday, he wanted his quarter back. Now, we would buy him hamburgers and we would do all this. But if he loaned me anything, he wanted it right back. Be careful about business with a friend. If you're going to do business with a friend, your friendship should be more important than that business. Be careful about that. The Bible says a lot about that. I think this is kind of a cool verse. Chapter 19, verses 4 and 6. Proverbs 19, 4 and 6. Kind of help you understand sometimes who your friend is. verse number 4. Wealth maketh many what? Friends. But the poor is separated from his neighbor. Verse number 6. Many will entreat the favor of the prince. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. Every man is a friend to him that giveth gifts. So I kind of ask you this question. Why are you their friend? You know, I hate to say it this way, but most friendships are lopsided. Most friendships are lopsided. Most friendships are taken advantage of. I know you don't understand the seriousness per se, but I'm the one that sits in front of people and hear them pour out their heart about friendship. Tell me you don't take advantage of your friend. Tell me your friendship is not lopsided. All you do is borrow money from them, you never help them. All you do is entreat upon them, but you're never available to them. They helped you move, but you don't help them. Friendship's not one-sided. The Bible says, wealth maketh many friends. Every man is a friend to him that giveth. That makes you check why you're a friend. Chapter 14, verse number 20. Kind of points out a special friend here. Verse number 20 says, the poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. The poor is hated even of his own neighbor, but the rich hath many friends. And the Bible says the poor don't have many friends. How do you choose your friends? How do you choose your friends? Well, Pastor, I choose my friends based on agreement, which is in the Bible, based on things in common, based on where we live, or based on this or whatever. How do you choose your friends? Well, Pastor, I didn't really choose them. They chose me, okay. But the Bible says that the poor don't have many friends. I cannot stress to you the value of a friend. And there are people inside this church that don't have any friends. My job on them is they need to show themselves friendly. My job on you is you need to look for somebody to be a friend to. Amen. So here's how this goes. When we have a fellowship and I walk into that place, people flock to me. And most of the time I can hardly get a drink without having to stop and hear your story or hear your praise or hear your prayer request, which I love. But when I go in that room, I'm looking for the person sitting all by themselves. And I walk over to that person and I'll say, can I sit here? Oh yeah, Pastor, sit right here. Because people need to be loved. People need to be regarded. People need to feel like somebody cares. So do you. Yeah, you do. And so, poor don't have a lot of friends. And that doesn't just solely mean money. That can mean a personality. That could mean opportunity. That could mean a lot of things. And so, inside our church, we're known as a friendly church, but there's always room to grow. So sometimes I watch you. Do you know you sit with the same people all the time? Do you know that? If we go in here and we have a fellowship, I basically should just take that pew and bend it around because that's how you're going to sit. But we should be actively approaching people to be their friend. That's good preaching. I'm kind of counseling tonight. I'm not really preaching, but I'm enjoying it. Chapter 16, verse number 28. Powerful verse. A froward man, or an evil man, or aggressive man, soweth strife. And a whisperer separateth what? Chief friends. No room in friendship for gossip. Hence, question. Are you a gossiper? You just share prayer requests, don't you, Brother Malcolm? You know, the sin of gossip is raging in our world. The sin of gossip is raging in churches. And I'll tell you, as a pastor man, I fear gossip. I'm careful about it. I'm careful about it when little groups get together. I'm careful about it on social media. I'm careful about it infiltrating our church. The Bible says right here that gossip will separate chief friends. Tell me you know how to handle the secrecy and the reverence and the respect of a friendship. You don't get done talking to one friend and then tell everybody else about that friend. Can people trust you? Can people trust you with their heart, with their prayer life, with their delicate things of their life? Are you a trustworthy person? Anybody ever been hurt by gossip? I'm raising both my hands. Separates chief friends. By the way, that should not happen with God's people. Shouldn't happen with God's people. No relationship can handle gossip. And whispering gossip. Whispering. When I was in school, we got in trouble for whispering. Matter of fact, when I was in church, I got a lot of spankings because I whispered. I just want to say something to you. Be careful of the person who whispers. Now, it's one thing to whisper sweet nothings in the ear of your loved one. Be careful of the person who whispers. I think there's a time to whisper. There's a time to talk quietly. There's a time for privacy. But that person who always wants to whisper and meddle and gossip and not raise their voice, that person will separate you. That person is gossiping. Gossip is a sin. Be careful. Go to chapter 27. Look, if you would, at verse number 9. We're almost done. Just some verses about what the Bible says about friendship. Chapter 27, verse number 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. Do you like to smell perfume and cologne? I want to say something. I don't want you to think I'm weird. But when somebody walks past me that smells good, it gets my attention. Am I the only person that happens to, or does it get your attention? Such is the case if it's the opposite way. Perfume and ointment are beautiful. They're sweet smelling. I love this, how this goes. Verse number 9. Ointment and perfume rejoice the heart. So doth the sweetness of a man's friend by hearty what? Counsel. So the Bible says a lot about the counsel that a friend would give. What kind of advice do you give as a friend? And what type of advice do you receive? Now, I want you to be very careful about who you get advice from. Advice is something that's powerful. I opened the message with Amnon. Amnon got advice from a friend who was wicked, and it destroyed his life. If I'm going to be a good friend to somebody, then my counsel is to be such that it's hearty counsel. It's such that it's fragrant counsel. It's such that it lifts. Now, the only kind of counsel I know is counsel like that comes from the Word of God. How do you know if you can trust a friend or not? Well, if that friend knows the Lord, you're going to trust them by whether or not they direct you to the Word of God. By the way, for Christian friendships, God ought to be talked about in our conversations. If you're a believer and the other guy is a believer, then within your friendship, the Lord ought to come up. If there's never any talk about the Lord or never any agreement with the Lord or so on and so forth, you got to be careful about having that caliber or closeness of friendship. And so the Bible says that hearty counsel is that which rejoices the heart. So what kind of counsel do you give? Why just told them to follow their heart? Never listen to anybody that tells you to follow your heart. Well, I just told them turnabout's fair play. Mm-hmm. I just told them let the chips fall where they may. Well, I just told them this is what they ought to do. No, what we need to tell them is thus saith the Lord. People need advice. Advice is important. I began my message tonight by saying, do you have a good friend? But I really mean, are you a good friend? Are you a good friend? Do you love at all times? Do you tell the truth? Are you pitiful to them as far as encouraging them in their sorrow? You show pity. You take advantage of your friend? Who do you choose as a friend? Tell me we're not involved in gossip, which will separate friends. And our counsel ought to rejoice the heart of a friend. Why do you say this? Because one of the reasons people leave our church is because they don't stick. They don't have any friends. And people come to church looking for friends. Sometimes it's them. And everybody said, amen. But sometimes it's not them. And even though it can be them, I think the measure of spiritual growth is how you handle being around people that need love. Are you able to love the unlovely? Are you patient with people? Pastor, they ticked me off, I give a man one time, one try. If he crosses me one time, we're never friends again. Well, you glad Jesus isn't like that. Right? So the Bible says a lot about friendship. To the person out there who thinks they don't need a friend, you're listening to a lie from the enemy. You need a friend. Pastor, I've tried, and nobody has reciprocated. Nope. Go fall on your face and say, God, I must not have done it right. I tried it this way. Show me what my problem was. Maybe God didn't want you to be friends with that person. Maybe he's directing you another way. Maybe you did something different. Don't give up. In my last counseling session here tonight, I'll just tell you this. I said it on Sunday. Isolationism is dangerous. And the first thing the devil tries to do is he tries to get in our mind and drive us away from our family, from our church, from people that love us. And he gets us over here into this me, me, me only kind of funk and mentality. and then he destroys me over there. And I don't want that to happen to you. So I want you to be a good friend. Amen? So go find one. Go find somebody in this church and become a friend of them. Now I know what's going to happen. Pastor, you sent all these people that think I'm poor and needy and they're all trying to be my friend. No, ask God. God, somewhere, somebody needs a friend, and I want to be a good friend to them. All right, let's pray.